Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing on in our series of looking at dangerous prayer. What are they? How can we pray these prayers? And how do they affect our lives? We're currently looking at the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far we've seen how praying that God should know our hearts, that he should test and know our anxious thoughts, and he should see if any offensive way is in us, can really open up our prayer lives and to help us to understand who God is and what he's saying to us. But it's all very well knowing what God is saying to us. We also need to choose to let God to lead us, to show us how to change. And so this is the week where things get real, where genuine, spirit-filled, life-altering change becomes possible, because we are asking God to take control and lead us in the right way. But why is this important? Well, firstly, this is not our destination. This world is not our resting place. We are called to move forward, not just by God, but by the whole world. Even nature itself calls us to move. The world turns relentlessly, moving on its axis, and it moves around in its orbit of the sun. To remain still is to grow stagnant, to decay. And this call to move is echoed in society around us. We live in an extremely fast-paced world where we are being constantly bombarded with news, information, opinions and advice which we're called to react to. So in many ways we are already being called to move, to change, to advance. But the important question is, in which direction? Since we must go in a direction, it's important that we know the right one. And so this is why it is so important to ask God which direction we need to go in. When we set out on a journey, we do so with a destination in mind. If we go on holiday, we might write our destination on our luggage tag to ensure our bags can get delivered to our destination. Even if we were planning to go for a circular walk around the block, we plan ultimately to return back home. That is our destination. And this is true with the journey of our lives as well. Our destination is not on this earth, in these earthly bodies. Our destination is with God, in the new heaven and the new earth. As Paul reminds us, our citizenship is in heaven. That's in Philippians 3. This is the way everlasting that David refers to. So I want to read from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan with longing. Longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So our present circumstances are not our destination. This is not our home. While we are in this tent, we groan and long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We need God to lead us to this place. And so are we willing to echo with David that prayer, lead me in the way everlasting? Secondly, if we do not ask God to lead us in the way everlasting, any happiness or joy we feel here and now will be fleeting. Only by listening to and following God will we know true lasting joy. It may feel good in the moment to go our own way, to ignore what God is saying. It might be comfortable to stay in the state that we're currently in, but we know with certainty that this comfortable, enjoyable way of our own will does not last forever. Even those who do not believe in God know that we will all one day die. But it is with this, the certain hope of faith that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, that we know, that we trust that this life is not all there is. There is a way everlasting, one that is open to all who are willing to believe and trust in Christ Jesus. Now, of course, we do not have to do good works to be allowed into God's family, to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. But why would we want to forsake the joys of the kingdom until the time we die, when we can join in with following God now and experience a foretaste of that joy and wonder of being united with God? I'm reminded of the words from Psalm 1, which talks about the person who delights in God, and it says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields in its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. I've heard some people talking rather scornfully about Christianity, saying that if all it takes to be saved is a belief in Christ, then they would live their lives however they wanted, doing what they desired, and then when they died, they would confess a belief in Christ. And so they argue they get the best out of both worlds. They get to live to their own desires, and they also get to experience the joys of heaven. Now, there are many, many things wrong with that statement, including the fact that none of us know exactly when we are going to die, so leaving our salvation to a deathbed confession seems stupidly risky to me. But more importantly, that kind of attitude completely misses the point, and the joy of faith. A life of faith is not some kind of boring, painful slog through life. Instead, it is full of wonder, joy, and hope. When we have faith, we are aware of the presence of the God of the universe with us in every moment. And so we can choose to recognise God's fingerprints in the world around us. We can look at the majesty of creation, from the glory of a sunrise to the determination of a plant growing through the cracks in the pavement. And we can see God in every little thing. We can see the character and nature of God as we look at the world around us. And we can revel in this knowledge, knowing that God isn't just everywhere around us, but that he is also within us. There are times I stop and contemplate this fact deeply, and it fills me with breathless awe and wonder. The knowledge that God loves me so much that he chooses to live with me and in me is more than I can possibly comprehend, and fills me with more joy than I can express. And yet, it is the truth. We live with this indescribable truth every day. And so I pity those who do not know this. I feel sorry for those who are not comforted by God's constant presence and endless grace. And more than just knowing God's presence, we also get to experience the joy of God guiding us and leading us every step of our path. So when God communicates to us, it is important that we pay attention and follow his words, because he leads us in good paths. We might face difficult and painful things, but we can know that God is leading us in the best path. And then thirdly, it is important for us to listen to God and ask him to lead us in the way everlasting, because we are called to be witnesses to others about God. If we refuse to listen to God and follow his ways, why should we expect other people to believe in him and want to follow him either? We all influence and affect one another. If you stop and think about the number of different people you interact with, you will realise that you have the potential to display something of who God is to hundreds of people. Even people that we only interact with fleetingly can be affected. A really simple example of this is, if someone who doesn't know God sees someone who has an ichthys fish on their car, but then they drive irresponsibly and recklessly, putting people's lives in danger, that person probably wouldn't have a good opinion of Christians or of God if people who claim to be God's followers act with such disregard. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 to let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When we follow God, others can see that there is something different about us compared to others. They can see that we are motivated by something other than our own needs and desires. Jesus describes us as being light of the world that shines so as to point people towards God. The light that comes from following God's word shines so that others can see it. What has God been speaking to you about? How might this affect people around you? If you follow God's words, how might it change the lives of those around you? And when we ask God to lead us in the way everlasting, who might follow in your example? Let's pray. All I am and all I have, I offer, Lord, to you. I offer you these hands that you might use them in and through my daily work. I offer you these feet that you might lead them to someone who needs my help. I offer you these shoulders if you should use them to help lighten another's load. I offer you this voice, that you might use it to speak up for those in need. All I am and all I have, I offer, Lord, to you. And so, Lord, we pray, lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.